Thank you for tuning in to the Living Bread Podcast. We hope that your spirit will be lifted and your heart comforted by today's sermon. Pastor Brian Bohr is the senior pastor at Living Bread Church and is a passionate minister of the grace and blessing of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian and his sermon titled, Understanding What Jesus Accomplished for Us.
Father God, once again, we approach your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the grace of God working in us today. And Lord, as we approach your word once again, Lord, we believe for the supernatural power of utterance to be given. Lord, we believe today is not a normal day in this church. We believe today is a day where we will turn a corner in our thinking and in our believing and in our hearts. We believe today, Father, for miracles, signs, and wonders to be done. We believe, Father, that the spirit of affliction and torment will vanish, and we drive it out in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the power of God working in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Acts the 13th chapter, we'll begin reading here, verse 24. The Bible said, when John had first preached before Jesus' coming, the baptism. That's what John was about. John was preaching before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that John was preaching the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. That was his theme. John's theme was water baptism. John's theme was repentance to the people of Israel. That's why John was rejected and eventually beheaded, because it was not a message that was accepted. And the Bible says in verse 25, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not he. But behold, there come one after me whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Israel, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voice of the prophets, which they are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And we spoke about this scripture last week, that even to this day, you can go to Jerusalem into the synagogues, and you can even visit a Jewish synagogue here in America, and you're going to find that the readings of in the Jewish synagogue is about the Messiah and about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Bible said, even though they read about him, they knew him not. They have not recognized him. And Paul said that even in the very day of his day and today, he said people, the forefathers are still reading the scriptures, but they do not recognize who he is and mainly what he has done. And we're going to find out who he is and what he has done. And it said when they condemned him, they were actually fulfilling the scriptures. Verse 28, and though they found no cause of death in him, they desired that they, Pilate, that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and we focused in on this point last week, but God raised him from the dead. Regardless of what you face, God raises him from the dead. Praise God. No matter what you're faced with, we still have the but God on our side. And a beautiful but God scripture is found in Ephesians 2, verse 4. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Thank God that God is rich in mercy, and his rich mercy and his great love wherewith he loved us. And so here it says, going back to Acts 13, but God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God fulfilled the same unto their children in raising, in that he hath raised up Jesus from again. The Bible says, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And as concerning this, he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, or he died, and was laid unto his fathers, or in the tomb of his fathers. And the Bible said here that David saw corruption, that his body decayed and went back to the dust of the earth. But David was proclaiming, and Paul was re-proclaiming, and Brian is proclaiming and re-proclaiming, re-re-proclaiming that Jesus was raised up from the dead. And the Bible said no more to see corruption, meaning this right here, once he was raised up from the dead, his body would never go back to the grave and see corruption in heaven. Jesus has not only a glorified body, but he has the same body, an earthly body, that he walked the face of this earth with, the body that he presented unto the disciples, the body that he walked with after the resurrection. He still has that body in heaven. The only one, to our knowledge, that has that type of body in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. His body did not see corruption. It did not decay. It did not go back to the dust of the earth. And so here we find verse 37, whom God raised from the dead. So we see here in this one sermon that Paul was preaching, and I like preaching the sermons of Paul because it kind of makes you feel important that you're preaching something good, because we know Paul was connected to the plan and the will of God. But we see right here, Paul mentions four times in his sermon, God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And God raised him from the dead. And when God raised him from the dead, it was for a purpose. One of the purposes that God raised him from the dead, one of the key secrets and the mysteries that's being revealed unto you today, what was given to you through the resurrection, is found in this one term right here in verse 34. He said, now because God raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. I will give you the sure mercies of David. Now, I'm not expecting you to understand what the term the sure mercies of David means yet today, but I'm getting ready to reveal and unfold what it means when he says, I'm going to give you the sure mercies of David, and it's going to impact your life, and it's going to put you in the position where you can walk in the miraculous and have the miracles that's going to be released through the mercies of God. So he said, I'm going to give you the sure mercies of David. And then he began to say right here, he said that, verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, he said that through this man, Jesus Christ, through this man, he said, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He said, one of the benefits, the blessings, and this is not elementary teaching today. One of the blessings that he was raised from the dead is the forgiveness of sins, that your sins are forgiven. Now, another good scripture is Acts 10:43. It says right here that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. Remission of sins is a different word than the term forgiveness of sins, because the term remission of sins means put out of commission. That sin has been put out of commission. It's a stronger word than the term forgiveness. Everybody understands that they have forgiveness, but Paul is trying to bring different words into our understanding. And one of those terms, and he mentions it again in Romans, the 3rd chapter, he says the remission of sin. If there is a disease in a person's body, and they go to the doctor and they receive treatments, or, you know, whatever the cure may be, sometimes they use the term that this disease is now in remission, meaning right here that it's not alive, that it's not empowered anymore. I once had it, but I don't have it anymore, because now it is dormant, it is dead, it is neutralized. And of course, they're giving all the credit to the modern medicine, and thank God for modern medicine, and there's nothing wrong with taking medicine. You ought to take medicine. If your doctor prescribes medicine to you, you're already going to the doctor, so you might as well go ahead and do what the doctor tells you to do. And that's wise, and that's wisdom. But Paul here, he sees something that's affecting mankind, and it's causing mankind to have a major disorder that separates them from the blessing of God. And what has separated us from the blessing of God is the sin nature, the nature of sin that was living on the inside of us. But he said that is now in remission. It's in remission, no longer empowered, no longer having power over you, no longer controlling you. He said, not only are you're forgiven of the past, you're forgiven of the present, and you're forgiven of your future sins. Thank God you're forgiven. Now, this is not permission to go out and do wrong, but God already knows your personality. He already knows that we will do things wrong, but he says, I want you to know that you're forgiven of this right here. Not only does he say this right here, he said, and by him all that believe, and this is a revelation that we kind of have grasped a little bit, but you understand the people that were living under the rules of Moses, they did not believe. They had to do their actions was converted over to acceptance. By their actions, they were accepted. By their obedience, they were accepted. But you are not accepted by your obedience and by your actions. You're accepted based on what Jesus Christ hath done for you. This makes it a better covenant. According to Hebrews 8:6, it makes it better than what they had. What they had was good for them. And I'm not going to try to go back and live under what they had because it was good. But what we got is better, and it's better because he said the only thing that you need to do is believe. Just simply believe. All you got to do is believe. Believe on him. Believe on him. Believe on him. All you got to do is believe on him. And the Bible says, notice right here what happens when you believe on him. Notice right here the next term, when you believe on him, he said that those that believe on him are justified. Amen. Justified. Everybody say justified. And let me give you the definition, the purest definition of justification, or being justified, is now declared right with God. Amen. Declared right to the degree that your approach to him is not one through fear. Praise God. That your approach to him is one through confidence and boldness now, that you have boldness to come to the throne of grace, that you have boldness to come to him, that you do not fear God like the people of the old covenant. They had the term the fear of God and the fear of the Lord, but you do not fear him like they did, because we have now been accepted by God, and nothing can change this, because God has already declared you to be declared righteous, the righteousness of God, before you even made any move, before you made any decisions, before you accepted him. His righteousness is a free gift unto you before the foundations of the world. He saw the fall of Adam in the garden. Our God, he's a little smarter than you and I, and he said, I see this happening, and I'm going to make a way for man to be re-redeemed, praise God, and restored back better than what Adam had. What the devil did in Adam is nothing to be compared to what Jesus did in his death to wreck the devil's kingdom, praise God. He tore the devil's kingdom down. He demolished it in the unseen world. We cannot see in the natural what happened. We can only see through the eyes of the scripture. But when Jesus went into the gates of darkness and into hell itself, he tore that kingdom down. He wrecked it. He broke it. He destroyed it. He took all the powers that work against us, and he left them shattered, empty, broke. And then one translation said that he frisked the devil. He frisked him to make sure, you know, turned him around and made sure there was no weapons that he could use against you anymore and against I. Praise God. And now we're declaring the devil's defeat boldly with the faith of God, with the revelation of the word of God, not backing down, not afraid, because of this right here has been accomplished through the blood of Jesus, and the devil has zero answer for the power of the blood. Because justified means that you are accepted by a loving Father now. Hallelujah. We are, the Bible said, children, sons and daughters of the Father. And thank God we found the term daughters a few times in the Bible. Most of the writers of the King James, you know, they didn't believe in women and women's rights. They didn't believe in it. So, you know, they kept a lot of the authority and dominion out as though it's a male, that if you're born a man, a boy, if the doctor can see, you know, through, you know, the sonograms that you're having a baby boy, well, automatically everything's going to be all right because you're a male. But Paul did not see it this way. Amen. He sees us in Christ. He sees us neither male nor female. Amen. He does not see us circumcised or uncircumcised. He didn't see us Greek or barbarian. He didn't see us Jew or non-Jew. Amen. He saw us all one in Christ, an equal share of everything Jesus had. He sees us as a share and one that has an inheritance through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, those that believe right here now. He says, those that believe on him, notice he said, we're justified. And justified, he goes on to say right here, justified from all things. We're justified from those things. But notice the latter part right here. He said, and from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He said, you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There was no justification. Now, God has declared you and I to be the righteousness of God now. That means totally accepted. A righteous person, a justified person, has been washed by the blood, can stand before the Father, has access to everything the Father has, can access His will. We're to access His will. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. We can access His will now. We can access it. Notice here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We'll look at one scripture here. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said, for He hath made Him to be sin who knew no sin. The first He there, He hath made Him. The first He is the He God. God made Him, Jesus Christ. Let's break it down and make it plain, make it clear. God made Him to be sin. God made Him to be sin. And that's what happened on the cross. He was made sin. The moment He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was made sin on the cross. He took upon the whole world their sin. All the way from the past, from the garden to the garden. Amen. This is going to end up back in a garden, according to Revelation. But in the garden, from the garden to the garden, He took all sin. He was made to be sin, who knew no sin. The Bible said that Jesus was tempted in all points like we were, yet without sin. He was always without sin. He was not born in sin. Everybody else was born in sin, but He was not born in sin because He was supernaturally conceived, amen, by the Holy Spirit, a Holy Ghost conception in a virgin, which your mind has a hard time wrapping its thoughts around that. But it was a Holy Spirit conception in a virgin, a young girl. Probably some writing says about the age of 14 years of age, right when she was coming into her womanhood. Wasn't very long that she came into her womanhood. It wasn't very long that the angel appeared to her and said, I am Gabriel. And there's going to be a holy conception in your womb. And she said these words as a testimony, how, not as doubt, How shall this be? This is a testimony, seeing I know not a man. I've never been with a man. I've never been in relations with a man. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is about to come upon you. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is about to come upon you. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, there's going to be a Holy Spirit conception, a seed planted in your womb. And the child that comes forth out of your womb is going to be sinless. He's going to be the only one of his kind on the face of the earth. There's not going to be anybody like him. Sin will have no dominion over him. When he walks in Walmart, demons and devils are going to cry out. When he's standing in the line at McDonald's getting ready to get him a burger, demons and devils will cry out. When he went to church, demons and devils cried out. They said, did you come to torment us before our time? Because they had never had seen a man that sin did not dominate. Let's paint the picture of this man in a class all by himself. Praise God. He could access the will of the Father because he was the only one that had ever lived that knew the will of God, knew the will of the Father. He's the only one that could access it. So when he saw the lame, he did not go up to the lame and say, well, I know you've done something wrong. You've been living in sin, and this is the purpose, and this is the reason you're sick. He never went into their past. He did not let their past interfere with their present. And neither should the church. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good today. Praise God. The church always lets the past deal with a person's future, but Jesus never dealt with the past. He was always dealing with the present right there, and that's why he just spoke healing, because he knew it was the will of the Father. And you and I now are sons of the Father, and we have seen on the big screen the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I see through him what the Father desires, not desired, desires today for humanity. Hallelujah. He was one all by himself. And so demons could not conquer him. Hallelujah. And you and I, when you're born once physically, you're born of water. You're born of water. The water has to break. And John testifies that when the water breaks, you're entering into this world. You're born once of water. He was not talking about water baptism, being born of water there. He was talking about a physical birth, that when the water breaks in a woman, the child is about ready to come forth. Now, I can tell you a pretty gruesome story right there about this. I was about 16 years of age, and I got a job across the street from my house at the Piggly Wiggly. And the Piggly Wiggly is a grocery store. You know, you guys know what the Piggly Wiggly is, don't you? And one thing about the Piggly Wiggly, they sold big, tall soda pops for 10 cents. I mean, these big orange ones. And so when I got a job at the age of 15 years of age, and I got a worker's permit because we were broke, poor. And poor people could get a worker's permit, so I got a worker's permit, and I did not realize automatically that I was going under the poverty system. And so I was automatically under the poverty system, and we began to beg because we were poor, and that would qualify us, and I didn't realize it right then that I was under the poverty system. So they had to give a job because they got to give a job to a certain amount of people. And so at 15, 14 right there, they allowed me to come to work under a special poverty clause. So they put me back in the bottling room. And in the bottling room is not a place you want to be, because you got to touch every bottle. And I'm kind of like a germ freak. I don't like a lot of germs. And I kind of wash my hands too many times throughout the day. And I think about, you know, when I give my dog a treat, I wash my hands even after giving my own dogs a treat. And I never allow my dogs to kiss me in the mouth, but they can kiss anybody else they want to in the mouth. And I do not kiss dogs in the mouth. I don't like their, you know, I don't want to do that. I have a neighbor across the street, and we're not really close friends. I barely know him. But I went over there one day, and they said, come on in. I went to the end of their house, and I sat down, and they have this dog. And this dog walked right up to me and looked at me and sat up and kissed me, and the dog's tongue went right in my mouth. Tell me about it. I mean, his tongue went right in my mouth. It's kind of smooth. I mean, it's a real smooth tongue. I mean, I felt it on my mouth. I thought, oh, Perino, that's what that was. You had breakfast. But anyway, they put me over in the bottling room to bottle these bottles, and you know, I had to touch all these bottles, but I don't even know what my story was about going to work at, what's that? Oh yeah, the water breaking. Thank you, praise God. So I'm sitting there, and so finally I get old enough, about 15 years of age, 15 and a half, and they allow me to be a sacker. How many knows what a sacker is? We didn't have plastic. We only had paper because we were paper mill people. And we believed in cutting down trees, and we believed in planting trees. We are not tree huggers in the South. We do not hug trees. We do care about the environment. We like our fish to be clean. But, you know, we're not tree huggers in the South like you Midwest people are. And you know, the president already told you about you people up here in the Midwest. You people are kind of shallow-minded, and you cling to your guns and religion. And so, people in the South, we carry our guns on our side, you know. But anyway, I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm going to get off of that before I get in trouble with you today. But notice, let me share with you. So I'm sitting there sacking his groceries, and this pregnant lady, standing by me. I'm sacking her groceries, and her water breaks right there in the checkout line. And her water breaks, and it goes all over my feet. And I had red Converse on. I can remember it. You know what Converse are? We wore red Converse in those days, and her water broke, and it went all over my feet. And believe it or not, at 15 and a half, you haven't figured out everything about a woman at that time. I mean, you're attracted to them. You like them. You want to kiss them. You want to touch them. But you haven't figured out everything about the water breaking. That was a new revelation that day to me, that the water broke. And so she looked down, and my feet are wet. And so anyway, I knew that there was getting ready to be a baby born. And that's what John talked about. He said that when you're born of water, you're born into this natural world, you're born really into sin at that time. And that's why Jesus, he preached, you must be born again. And that when you're born again, by accepting Jesus Christ, you become one of his. You become one like him. At that time, really, through the new birth, at that time, not getting filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Thank God for that blessing. But at that time, at salvation, which people do not have a revelation of what happened, really, at that time, Satan and sin no longer has dominion over you. No matter what kind of prayer you prayed, at that time, at salvation, at that point, not 19 years from now when you become a mature Christian, when you go through all the discipleship classes, and those are all good, at that time right there, you are victorious over all the power of darkness. The very thing that Jesus said when he was raised from the dead, when he was born again, made alive, made anew, this day you have begotten me. He was proclaimed as the first begotten of the dead, the first one to ever go into the realm of death, and death could not hold him, is what Peter said. Everybody else that went into the realm of death, death held them, even to God's heroes, King David. When he died, death held him, and he decayed corruption came upon him. It wasn't very long that his body went back to the dust of the earth. And here Paul is mentioning David because David is one of the stars in people's eyes of those days. And he said, but this man Jesus, hallelujah, when he died, he's in a class all by himself. And when you're born again, you get in that class. You get justified. He was justified. Jesus was justified in spirit. He had to be justified in spirit. And the Bible says right here in verse 21 that he was made sin who knew no sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One of his kind, one like him, one in his class, meaning this right here, that sin, demons, and darkness now will no longer have power over you. Can you say amen? And this is what we are. This is not what we're going to be. Let me share with you a very interesting scripture here found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And this is the writings of Paul. And that's why it's always connected. But there's an interesting statement that Paul throws out. And it's in verse 16, and he says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, there is a mystery that people do not know. And he said, it has a controversy over it. He said, this is a great controversy. And he said, it's a great mystery. Some people, it will always be a controversy. But to some people, it's going to be a revelation of a mystery of something they did not know. And he said, let me sum up the whole gospel in one verse. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified, made alive. After he was manifested in flesh, he died, was buried. He was justified in spirit. When he was justified in spirit, was in the unseen realm. After he died, he had to be justified, made alive. Then the Bible said he was seen of angels in the unseen realm. He preached unto the Gentiles. The only time he preached unto the heathen was in the unseen realm. He did not do any of this in his earthly ministry. He went into the realms, the unseen realms, the holding places of the dead. We see that Jesus spoke about the holding places of the dead. He said in those days, there were the holding places of the dead. One was called Abraham's bosom. Everybody that died, you know, in God went to Abraham's bosom. But everybody that died not in God did not go to Abraham's bosom, but went to the place of Sheol. The holding place. Jesus described this in one of his teachings. He said there was a rich man. He said, and this was not a parable. There was a certain rich man. Amen. He said, I know about him, a certain rich man. And then there was a beggar. I know him by name. His name was Lazarus, not Mary and Martha's Lazarus. And he said both of these guys died on the same day. They didn't know each other. The rich man that died, and being rich now, it wasn't the problem. He just described him as a rich man so you would have an understanding. He said that rich man, he died and he went to hell. Lazarus the beggar, he died, he went to Abraham's bosom. Who was in Abraham's bosom? Abraham was. All the Old Testament prophets. Today, Abraham's bosom is empty. There's nobody in Abraham's bosom today. When Jesus, after he got through preaching to the angels, and these are angels that had something to do with the fall of man, or angels that had to do with the sexual sins of Noah's daughters, the sexual sins that produced a giant's populations. At one time there were giants on the face of the earth, and these people became giants because they mixed breed. They were a mixed breed of humanity with angels. And these people were punished. And the Bible said these angels today are in prison in chains today. Jude talks about them. He said they're chained up in an everlasting punishment to this day. Jesus went and preached to them. He was seen of them. He went to every compartment in the unseen world. He preached to the Gentiles. He was seen over in Abraham's bosom. But in Abraham's bosom, there is no suffering. But over in hell, in Sheol, in that compartment, that rich man that died, the Bible said he was tormented in flames. Man, I want to go to hell because we're going to have a party. People told me that when I was a young person. Man, you know, this business about Jesus, it's not real. If you really want to be a party, you come to hell. It's no party. The Bible said these guys are tormented by these flames. Tormented. So this rich man, he speaks to Abraham because the Bible said there was a great gulf that separated them. They could look over into each compartment. And the rich man said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, can you just take a drip of water and place it on my tongue? He said, because I'm tormented in these flames. And Abraham said, no, you know, Jesus said this for Abraham. No, you can't do that. They cannot cross over. Abraham cannot help you now. Moses, look right over in the back part of there. You see Moses sitting over there? He can't help you now. He came as a witness. Look over there. You see John the Baptist? You beheaded him. He's got his head back. He can't help you now. He preached repentance to you. He preached repentance to the nation of Israel. You wouldn't accept him. Who else is in there? Oh, we got a couple Old Testament hot prophets in there. Jonah's in there. Jonah, Elijah. You want to see Elijah? Scoot out of the way, Abraham. Look at Elijah. Look at Elisha. Here's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Here he is. You want to see Jeremiah? There he is. Amos. Oh, we got some queens in here. We got some powerful women. Men, step aside. You're always taking the limelight. Look at Esther. There's Esther right there. We have all these Old Testament prophets in this holding place. And all this guy was asking is for one drop of water. He said, but it cannot happen. Do you know the prayer of hell? There is a prayer that was prayed from hell. The man prayed a prayer. And he said, if you cannot give me any water, please send somebody back to the earth to tell my five brothers about this place. All of a sudden, we have an evangelist, someone that believes in soul winning now, someone that believes in knocking on doors in hell. But Abraham said, we're not sending anybody back to earth. They're still alive. They have the law of Moses. If they obey it through obedience, they'll be okay. But if they do not, this place is awaiting all people that do not obey. Jesus preached unto the Gentiles. He walked right into the Gentile nations that were held there, the heathen nations. Everybody that had not had an opportunity, he preached unto them. Man, wouldn't you like to see that sermon that he preached? Paul is revealing this right here. He preached unto the Gentiles. Put that back up there. The Bible said he was believed on in the world and received up into glory. What it means by believed on in the world, that after he was raised up from the dead, he went back into his body, got his body, And we described some of that last week in 1 Corinthians 15, where he was seen of Cephas. He was seen of Peter, Cephas, Bo Cephas, Hank Williams' relative. He was seen of Peter. He was seen of Cephas. The Bible said that he was seen of 500 men. And Paul said most of the men that he was seen of is still alive to this time. And he said he was seen of me, one that was born out of due time, one translation said, one that was not wanted, one that should have been aborted. If they could have aborted me, they would have aborted me. He said, I was not wanted by anybody. My parents did not want me. I was conceived, but I was not wanted. He said, and I was at least, he said, I'm the least of all. And I was seen, and he was seen by me, and I saw him on the road to Damascus. He said, and we are his witnesses. And then the Bible said after this, Paul said he was received up into glory. And that's where he's at now. He's in glory at the right hand of God, the right hand of majesty. And today he's entered in, the Bible said, into a more excellent ministry. Now his earthly ministry was the wow factor. The X factor was upon him. I mean, when he was walking on water, I mean, we've never seen anybody like him. He turned water into wine. I mean, we're talking about miracles. How many still with me? Glory. Praise God. But today the Bible said now he's entered into a more excellent ministry. What ministry has he entered into? He's entered into the high priest ministry. Today, we begin to touch on this on Wednesday night. Jesus has entered into a high priest ministry. I know we have no knowledge, being Americans, of what a high priest is. Unless we do a study of the Old Testament high priest, it's the only example that we have. And you're going to have to go to, a Bible school and study theology. And when I went to Bible school, I saw this class, and I could not even pronounce the name of it. You want me to give you the name of it? The Pentateuch. I know you guys that went to Bible school, you had the same thing. Dan, you probably had the same. I said, the Pentateuch. What in the slam heck is the Pentateuch? And someone that knew something more than me said, it's the five books of Moses. That's what the Pentateuch is. And you're going to study that. I said, oh, help me, Lord. But when you study the Pentateuch, you're going to find out the ministry of the priest. And how that priest went between the people and God as a representative, and spoke on behalf of the people, and prayed on behalf of the people. The people did not have any direct contact with God whatsoever. They could only go to God through the priest ministry. And the priest would go in and represent them once a year and offer up blood, the blood of an animal. And if it was accepted, there was a smoke that came out of the temple, and there were flags that flew, and that's how the communication. They didn't have any cell phones to tell everybody. They didn't have a mass text to tell everybody, we're now accepted. When the priest went in, he went in one time and to offer up the blood. It was not for the past. It was for your future year. Hallelujah. It's like me coming and telling you that I'm going to pay all of your debts, all of your bills. You have car payments? I'm going to pay you. You got insurance payments, house notes, rent and stuff like that, food bill. It's like me coming and tell you, Derek, I'm going to pay it for 1 year. Everything's going to be paid. You got a smile now on your face. You feel a little better about this year. Amen. You feel a little better about it now. When they would offer up, when they would fly that flag, everybody kind of got jubilation because they knew their sins were covered, taken care of for 1 year. Amen. It's been accepted. And so the debt was paid, canceled. So everything's going to be all right. You're going to have a good year. God has accepted you based on the blood of an animal. You're accepted for 1 year. But at the end of that year, they begin to think about it. And God had it that way, so they would think about their rebellion and their hard-heartedness and what he had done for them to get them out from under Egypt. He said, I do not want you to forget it. That's why you're going to have the feast of the Passover, and you're going to eat some bitter herbs. And it's going to make your mouth pucker like eating persimmon, green persimmons. And you're going to remember the toils of your forefathers, and you're not going to forget them. Those years of hardship and toil, but you're not going to forget also how you almost wore me out, and how I even was mad that I even created you, and how I even wished that I didn't create you. And if it wasn't for an intercessor coming in, I would have destroyed you. But there was an intercessor, a man named Mo, that stood up and said, Lord, if you blot them out, you blot me out, and I am your companion. And if you destroy them, you're going to have to destroy me. And I don't think you're going to destroy them, because I know who you are. And the heathen will always write books about you, God, saying that your people left Egypt and got out here and you destroyed them. And it will be in the memory of heathen. Moses was working God over like an attorney. He said, it's going to be in the memory of heathen forever that you killed them. And I will be the first one that tells the whole world that you brought your people out and you killed them. And he says, how do you like that, God? And God said, I get the picture. I get the picture. He said, I'm not going to destroy him. Can you say amen? I'm going to bring him out. And he said, and this is why we have those customs. But now in heaven, we have a high priest that prays perfect prayers for us. And the Bible says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he's touched with our weaknesses. He's touched by our afflictions. And the Bible says we can come boldly. Now Hebrews 4:16, and it tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can find mercy and peace in time of need. We can find acceptance. We can find deliverance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And you don't have to go to a hell, because that hell was not created for you. Amen. By believing, just by believing, he says, you're justified.